It's 5 and 6, and then we'll be open in prayer and begin.
Romans 9.
Right. Okay, Romans chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. I'll start at verse 4. Who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Father, we thank you for another opportunity as we continue studying your word in the book of Romans. In particular, the things that relate to Israel and your promise and your covenant, and the Gentiles and their grace that was given to them. And we pray as we go forward that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding to increase our understanding of your passage or the words that we read. We pray that as we read these things, our understanding would be increased and our conviction would be increased in your faithfulness to your promise. We pray for the listening ears that we might be Bereans, that we might search the scriptures to see whether these things be so. And once again, we just thank you for this time in your word. We thank you in advance for the outcome and edification that we will receive and the glory that you will receive through the reading of the in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, we're coming to a difficult section of scripture, but it's definitely a challenge as we go through 9, 10, and 11, because it begins to explain our position. When I say our position, I would not just the Gentiles, but the Jews. What happened to the Jews? You know, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, about if God was so faithful and his plan was so invincible, and we're inseparable, as Paul talked about in Romans 8, in the latter parts, what happened then to the Jews? If that was the case, we're definitely not the recipient of these blessings through the Jews. Are we not? I mean, there's definitely something wrong. We're not coming in on the tail of a Jew today. We are being saved individually and not nationally. And that's why Paul, when he opens up in chapter 9, he's given the explanation of what happened to Israel if the promise and God was so faithful and it was so powerful. What happened to them? It looks like they are separated. Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Even today. We talked about that last week. Johnny brought to my attention some things about the Jew that you could say that if you had to point to God's people today, if you were an alien from outer space, drop down and said, show me God's people, you would not be looking over there. If you're looking for someone who's blessed and someone who's receiving spiritual benefits, it wouldn't be identifiable by the Jews. But we have an explanation for why that's not taking place. Paul says this in verse 9, or chapter 9, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And he talks about his emotional attachment to the nation. We looked at that last week. Well, Paul said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrew, Pharisee, tribe of Benjamin. He gave his pedigree. He talked about the things that he did with that national zeal. And he says, I definitely understand what they had. In verse 4, he says, they are Israelites. I'm paraphrasing that. to who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Now, hopefully you remember that information that we've gone over in previous lessons. When you read those words, they should have a lot of weight. They should bring to your remembrance a privileged position.
Adoption. A nation above the nations.
The adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. And I don't know if Blake is, I don't think Blake is on, but one word. Thank you, Jenny.
His mom put him to work today. Sorry.
No, that's fine. But if you could use one word, then you think about Israel, and he was. Israel was a son. That's what the adoption is. It's the placing as a son. That goes all the way back to the previous studies again, where we talked about what does it mean to be a son of God. God had invested his program, his purpose, his power even, in the nation of Israel. Not because they deserved it, we'll find that out going forward, not because they deserved it, but because that was part of his plan.
Who he chose.
That's it. And if you make a connection, you have to think of it this way. Hold your hand there. I just want you to look at this. We know the verse, but I want you to look at it. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Because this, Johnny, will set the stage when you go forward, and you'll realize that it's what it means when Paul is talking about election. And this election and this choosing, it has nothing to do with salvation. Okay, Genesis chapter 2. Let's start at verse 1. Just a few verses. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. That's a summary of what God did. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which he had created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. That's what I want. What does Adam know about what God has done or what God wants to do?
He wants the ground tilled.
When he forms him, what does he know about what God wants to do? Let me rephrase it. He forms Adam from the dust of the ground, and he became a living soul, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed.
He only knew what God told him.
He only knew what God told him. And up to that point, what had God told him? Nothing. He had just formed him and just put him there. He is waiting. He has to wait on instruction. But we do know this, that God formed him. He created him. We would say he created him. I'm going to use this verse. He chose him. He elected him. And he is a son. And he put him here for a purpose in the garden. And that purpose was to be later revealed to him. And with that purpose and that choosing and that forming and that placing, he has a responsibility that we'll find out. And he goes on where he tells the man that you can eat of all the trees of the garden except this one. So he gives him a responsibility. You notice that, Johnny? He gives him a choice. He gives him a choice. He is not a robot in the garden. But he did, the man whom he chose, he gave him the ability to choose. Yes? Whether he wanted to walk in God's word or not, whether he wanted to continue the fellowship with God or not, that was up to him. Now, I just went back there to show you that as you go forward, you have to keep up with the sons in order to keep up with the son, capital S-O-N. You keep up with the images in order to keep up with the image. Okay?
Yeah.
And the lessons that we learn from those people. Okay, I'll say this, Karen. To keep up with the seed, capital S-E-E-D, you have to keep up with the seeds. Small S-E-E-D-S. So when Adam, being the first one, we know what he lost. We've been over those in our previous lessons. We don't have to go through that. Well, they are the children of Israel. They are part of the seed. Small S-E-E-D. But they were still chosen as a son. So it's no wonder, it shouldn't be a wonder, when you get over to chapter 9, where Paul says, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So let's go back there. And then it'll be a little more descriptive as we go along. Paul says in verse 4, who are Israelites? He said he had a great heaviness and continual sorrow in his heart, for I could wish that that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. According to the flesh. And he gives them their history. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So we can see that Paul, his sorrow is because of the position that they've lost. The position of service, that privilege. Just like Adam, when he sinned, what happened to him? Excuse me.
Well, he
was expelled.
He got moved out.
He was expelled from that position of service, privilege. His fellowship with God was broken. Not because God made him do that. It was because of the choice that he made, Adam, to not continue to walk in his word. Now, when you look at the connections, as you go forward, the passages should just unfold to us. And we can see why Israel is in the state that they're in. Now, just before we look at these other verses, before you get to chapter 9, you can go back to chapter 8 and see that God had called us to be what? sons of God. He's saying now, this opportunity now is presented to you. Okay, just to look back at chapter 8 just for a minute. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of
adoption.
Adoption? The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's the position now that God is, when Paul is outlining that, he's offering you what Adam had, he's offering you what Israel had and lost. He said, this is, look, you have not received the spirit of fear. Now, if you are led by the Spirit of God, and that just simply means, if you now walk in his word by faith, and I'll jump some passages up, if you present your body as a living sacrifice, then you'll benefit from this relationship just like God will, just like the intended purpose was. Now, when Paul said that, that's why I have great sorrow and continual heaviness. And I thought about, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, but don't you have a, I would say a soft spot for people who, for us who've been saved, you know, when you see people struggling.
Yeah.
Where you say, if they would just trust Christ, it would be so much better. And when we say trust Christ, it just doesn't mean you being saved. It means you walking, being led by the Spirit, is walking in His Word. Now, I'll say this. A lot of people, especially in this day, in this time where we call the Aquarian Age, where the knowledge is increasing and faith is decreasing, spiritual faith is decreasing, scriptural faith, if you would just take the principles laid out in the Word of God, take all the other issues out, if you would just take the principles laid out in Scripture and apply them to your life, do you think that your situation would have turned out better?
Yep.
Absolutely. And it really, quiet as it's kept, the people that offer solutions, their scriptural principles, they just don't give it a credit to Scripture. If you narrowed it down to verses, you can see, hey, that's Romans chapter 12. Or, you know, this is Ephesians chapter 4. Now, they don't know, but they'll use the principles of Scripture without even knowing it. So you do have a heaviness and continual sorrow. And one more comment, I'm going to say this and we'll move on. I was talking to my nephew, this was some time ago, and he said he was going to get married. And I can tell by the way they were going through things that it's not going to be good if he doesn't have some information, some power behind him. And sure enough, it wasn't very long. And I would tell him, don't call me when the bottom falls out because it's too late then. You know, call me before the trouble, you know, sets in. But because when it gets too heavy and the bottom falls out, there's nothing I can do about that. But I did give him a principle because he was a little familiar with Scripture. And I told him, I said, two living people, it won't work. And I said, somebody has to die in that house. He didn't. So, I mean, after I explained it, it became a little more clear. But now you guys, you know what I'm saying. If I say, look, somebody in that house has got to die, it would be better if it was two dead bodies.
Yep.
But somebody has to die. That's a scriptural principle.
Die to self.
That's right. Now, wouldn't it be so much easier if you knew what I meant?
Yeah.
So, and I did. I had immediately, in the time that you should be rejoicing, you be celebrating with them, you have a heaviness and sorrow because you know what they're in for.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's, you know what, and this, you hate to be pessimistic, but I'll have to say, like what I read, a pessimist is just an optimist with experience. So,
I like that.
But Paul said this, he back to chapter 9, they had this position. They had it. God had equipped them with it. You can look at it in the same book, chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, as a matter of fact, chapter 3. He says about the Jews, in verse 3, what advantage? What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now that's important. I think Karen alluded to that verse, and I think it's in Deuteronomy. It says, what nation? And I'm paraphrasing this. What nation is like you that has God so close to them in all things? And he told them that this is my, if you do these things, this is your wisdom in the sight of the nations. These things were the oracles of God. These principles, these we call them the Ten Commandments, which consisted in rules and regulations and guidance in every aspect of their life. Is that an advantage?
Yes.
It absolutely is an advantage. You've got the God, the glorious God, and his information at your disposal. But verse 3 says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
God forbid.
God forbid. Let God be what? True. And every man a liar. Now that's this again. Back to the principles again. What if what we know? What if it didn't work for you, Johnny? Does that make God unfaithful in his word? Does that make the power of God slack?
Nope.
No, whose fault is it?
Ours.
You can't say that God set us up to fail.
Nope.
But the problem, and we said it, the problem, no doubt, is with you. Chapter 2. Matter of fact, we're on my same page here. 17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and rest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You know, and they'd have to go through, they'd have to answer yes to each of those questions. Because even though they were a Jew and they rested in it, and they boasted in it, and they knew it. They were confident in it.
They sought it not by faith.
And they taught it. But 23 says, "For thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God?" Question mark. And the answer is, yes, we did. They dishonored God. Listen, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning. We do the same thing. You know, we talk about we're grace believers. You know, that title, Jew, I'm a Jew, I'm circumcised. Well, today it's I'm a grace believer. And we have the same list of things that we boast in. Look at it. We rest in the grace message. Yeah, we boast about God. Yeah, we know his will. Yep. We approve of things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the scriptures. Yep. We are instructor. We instruct the blind, a light to them that are in darkness. And everything is the position, but nothing is the practice. You know, when you and I'm including myself in this, when you look at the average believers, the grace believer, I'm narrowing it down to grace believers for accommodation. So you guys, you can group all believers in this. But in particular, to the know-it-all people, the crowd that we say we know it all. When we look at our lives and me, you can look at mine. The part we're falling down on is the practice.
We're not very gracious.
We're not very gracious. And we're not very godly either.
Yeah.
So
there's no charity.
Okay. Now, whose fault is that?
Us.
Us.
We're some of the nastiest people. Some of the most prideful people.
Yeah.
Some of the most selfish people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the most knowledgeable people. But Paul said in Romans, he said, if any man thinks he knows nothing as he ought to know.
Right. Knowledge puffeth up.
Knowledge puffeth up, but
charity edify.
Charity edify. Now, all that comes from faith. The basis of that is faith. And we know without faith it's impossible to please him. That's a principle. No matter which dispensation, what age you're talking about, that's a lasting principle. God wants you to believe what he said and yield to what he said. Now, back to this. Verse 23. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. If thou keep the law, thy circumcision, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, quick question. What did Paul say the fulfilling of the law is? 13. Romans 13. Therefore, blank is the fulfilling of the law. Jenny, you just said it.
Charity.
Charity, love. He said, therefore, love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Is the The goal is for you, as we learn from the image principle, is to love God first and then your neighbor as yourself, or better than you. That's the goal. And that's why he says in 27, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is a Jew, Johnny, which is one, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now this should take you back to Genesis. And we'll go back to Genesis 17. And you know, we've gone through this over 2, maybe 3 years ago. We've gone over that in Genesis 17, where God makes the covenant with Abraham. In 17 verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Now, before we go further, I'll ask you this question. What did Abram do to be chose to be Abraham?
Nothing.
Nothing. How do you know that he did nothing?
Because he was an idolater to begin with.
Because he was an idolater to begin with. Joshua 24 says this. Now I'm paraphrasing this. Let me tell you about Abraham, your father, and his father, that on the other side of the flood, they served other gods. When Abram was in Ur of the Chaldees, he was not thinking about the one true and living God. He was too busy with the other gods. Now, you have to. I'm going to do this because when we get through this kind of material, it gets a little thick for us. I'll say this to keep your mind in the right track. We are busy too serving other gods.
Yep, our job, money.
Yeah, job, money, sometimes another person. You know, whatever your purpose is, you get busy. We will get busy doing those things. And what God, the fellowship with God, what he wants, that's if you got time, you'll get to that.
Yeah.
You know, when it's all said and done through the day, at the end of the day, you're like, oh, okay, thank you, Lord. By the way, thank you, Lord. I done used up all your grace and all your energy, but thank you. Let's try it again. Let's do it all over tomorrow. But back to Genesis 17, he says, verse 5, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, I'm sorry, and an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee the land. Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And I got to keep going. And God said unto Abram, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant. Okay, I'm listening now. If I'm Abraham, I want to walk with God. I want to do what he wants. One need to go, which you shall keep between me after thee. Most of the men, children, among you shall be circumcised. So just go, let me read that.
Oh.
Thank you. The men, children, all of every man's child among, and you shall have your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Now, just for understanding purposes, the circumcision, when he cut the foreskin of his flesh, it wasn't for health reasons, like they say today. It was because Abraham, when God had promised him something about having a son,
mm-hmm.
Say it again.
He acted in his flesh. He was walking in the flesh and not the spirit. So God cut that flesh off.
He was walking in the flesh. That is, he did not wait and walk in God's instruction. God said, it's you and Sarah. And he ended up, he had Ishmael. Mm-hmm. Now that was something Abram did, like you said, in the flesh. It was his performance. And God said, just a reminder, we're going to cut that foreskin as a token. That will tell me that you don't want to do it your way anymore. And every man child after you is going to have to do the same thing. Because that'll tell me that he wants to walk in faith also. And if he doesn't cut the circumcise, if he doesn't cut the foreskin of his flesh, then you cut him off. Because I don't want any disobedient sons hanging around the house. Sound familiar? If you can't, I'm just saying, this way, if you can't do it my way, then get out.
Yep.
Now, if you have children and they get older, and they might say that, I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can leave.
You heard your parents say it.
Yeah, guess what? He's already 13 in his mind, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He already got that rebellious spirit, and can't stay in the house. Only is no room for two heads. Now,
out of order.
Back to Romans. back to Romans, chapter 9. But we see the principle of being a Jew or being an Israelite. It was to be part of the seed. And the seed, look at Romans chapter 9, verse 5. Whose are the fathers, the promises, whose are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Just to quote this, in Romans 15 says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the
circumcision to confirm the promises made to the fathers.
Listen, Jesus Christ, was he circumcised? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
He was circumcised because that's the covenant. Now, that was Jesus Christ generations later saying, I am of the seed of Abraham, the seed of David. I am the seed, I am the offspring of those circumcised people. So he's saying that I'm telling God that I want to do it his way. And I'll ask you a question. Did Jesus Christ do it his way?
He did it God's way.
How much of it?
I come to do the will of the Father.
Okay. Now, the promise he came to fulfill was this. Where Galatians. I'm going to skip a verse in Galatians. Let me get this Bible. Chapter 4.
Frank, there's no sound. Now you're back.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Chapter 4. Well, let's just go down to verse 4. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And what I want is this. That was part of it, but chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Let the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Everlasting kingdom, a land, being a blessing, righteousness. He saith, not and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, that might be a little confusing, but because the reason why the seeds, plural, could be heirs is because of the seed, the S-E-E-D. Now, how did Israel become a great nation? Was it because of they were great in number?
Nope.
No, it was because of one seed, Abraham.
Oh.
Now, Johnny and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, is, you know, the Jew is prominent worldwide. That is, they are in high positions everywhere. And we were talking about it. Was it because they were so manipulative like Jacob? Was it because they were so conniving and so underhanded? Or is it because there's a superintendency over them that they can't get around, even though they have some questionable practices? I would say it that way. You know, Jacob did a lot of conniving and conning and manipulating, but we're going to find out that it was his anyway.
Yep.
Not because of him. When I say it was his anyway, the position was his anyway. And he didn't have to manipulate the situation to get it or to keep it, because he was elected to it. Uh-oh.
That sounds like the son that stayed home and was complaining when the prodigal came home. You remember when the father said this had always been thine?
Yeah, right. The position. I mean, he was a son. He had the position. And now look at verse back at 9. In verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now, we talked about that circumcision was showing them, was to show God that they were going to walk by faith. Let me ask you a question. What does circumcision mean to us today?
Nothing.
We're
circumcised in the heart by the Holy Spirit. Circumcision made without hands.
Right, I'm saying for men, yeah, for men, you don't circumcise your children today because of the covenant, do you?
No,
because we know that there was a deeper meaning to it now. And God is not, number one, God is not dealing with the nation Israel like he was dealing with them before. Now turn back to John and see what Paul says about Israelites. Not Paul.
I was going to say, how do we turn to John to see what Paul says? John what?
John chapter, where he talks about them, they said, we be Abraham's seed.
You're father the devil.
Get to it in a minute here. Chapter 8. Verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Now, let's just pretend that you are back in that day, and you are Abraham's seed. What is your primary responsibility to God?
Follow the law, be a light.
Follow the law, be a light. Yeah. One word?
Image.
Image, okay. What does that mean? When you say that. Let's see what the Lord says here. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, physical, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Who'd they say their father was?
Well, they said Abraham.
Yeah, they said Abraham.
They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This, you didn't get this from your daddy. Abraham didn't do this. Matter of fact, James called Abraham the friend of God. So Jesus is showing the Jews, listen, you are just because you are Abraham's seed doesn't mean you're really Abraham's seed. Because the whole purpose behind Abraham's seed was to have people that believed God. People chosen to serve him, to walk in his way, to walk in his word, to keep his word, to be a blessing.
To be a son.
Yes, I didn't want to keep belaboring the point, but I hope you get that. So when you get to verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, this was definitely Abraham's seed, Isaac's seed, Jacob's seed, which turned into the nation Israel. But they weren't really Abraham's seed, or Isaac's seed, or Jacob's seed, because those people were a people, they were supposed to walk in faith. They were supposed to be a people that walked in God's word, kept his word, and they lost that position. And to go back to what Johnny and I were speaking on, is the reason why we, when I say we, and not just us, America, but other countries, we are so afraid to do anything to Israel. Because we read verses that are in scripture that talk about Israel being the head, not the tail. We read about Israel being the anointed, and when he told them, touch not my anointed. We read verses that talk about Israel being the apple of God's eye.
Or you get blessed if you bless them.
Yes. And those verses are true. They're just not true
for us
today. Today, because here in verse 9, back to Romans 9, that was that protection, that privilege, that position, the power that they had, it was part of the covenant. In verse 4, that's why Paul says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow, because he knew what they lost. They lost this, the adoption, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. They lost all of that. Let me correct that. They abdicated all of that. They gave it up because they didn't walk in his way. But God is going to do that. You know why God is going to do that?
Because he made an oath.
Because the promise was the promise, right, that he made. Because Abram, Johnny, was elected. And it had nothing to do with him.
Right, he was asleep when God cut the covenant with himself.
So, that, and these are, okay, these are things that we do, we keep in mind, Karen, as we go along. Now, verse 5, he says, these were the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. One more thing we do too, and I'll throw this out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. Now, the promises that Christ came to confirm to the fathers, we try to get in on that Jesus. You know, the healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out the devils, feeding the multitude. We still have Jesus Christ back in his confirming the promise stage. You say, what do you mean? The same Jesus that we just talked about is where two or three get to gather together, asking this shall be that Jesus. Right now, he is what Paul says, he is the Lord of heaven. He is the head of the body. He says that we, though we have known him after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. He's not doing those things. He's not confirming the promises made unto the fathers. That is, you give me 10% and I'll pour out a blessing unto you that you won't be able to retain it. Those kind of things. Isn't that clear from the very fact that we do that and it hasn't happened yet?
Right.
And then we read a verse that says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect. So we'd have to say today, from the Jesus that we're praying to, his word is not taking effect. Are we praying to not have COVID? Are we praying to not have sickness? Are we praying to not have poverty? Are we praying for whatever, from A to Z? We have our list, don't we? How many things can you look at that list and say, you know what? He's come through on all of them. You know what the Jews said, the Israelites said, the Hebrews, when they came out of Egypt, and they said, I'm paraphrasing this, that Moses, you brought us out here, you and God, to kill us. There, you can't take us in to the land that you promised that's flowing with milk and honey. So you brought us out here to kill us in the wilderness. And God said to Moses, you stand back and I'll take care of them and I'll make of you a nation. Now this goes to show you that if God could do it all over again, if he wanted to, it has nothing to do with the election, the choosing, has nothing to do with salvation. It's his purpose. He told Moses, forget about Abraham. I can start all over and I'll make of you a great nation. Could he do it?
Sure.
Or as he, as we say, won't he do it? He could have done that. Because it's not reliant on you. That's why Paul says in verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are accounted for the seed. Now, we're going to not go too much farther here. What I'm showing you is, or trying to, before we go forward, is to show you that God promised something to Jacob. Well, he promised something to the nation because he promised something to Jacob. And he promised something to Jacob because he promised something to Isaac. And he promised something to Isaac because he promised something to Abraham. And he promised something to Abraham because he had a purpose that he wanted fulfilled in the earth. And it had nothing to do with whether the nation deserved it or not, because they didn't. It had nothing to do with whether Jacob deserved it or not, because he didn't. It had nothing to do with whether Isaac deserved it or not, because he didn't. And it had nothing to do because of Abraham, whether he deserved it or not, because he didn't. But it had everything to do with God, because the purpose that he purposed will be fulfilled. And he just said, I'm going to use you, Abram, to bring my seed out of your, to bring my seed, S-E-E-D, capital S-E-E-D, to bring my seed out of your seed, small S-E-E-D. And all along the way, it's going to be me giving life to the seed. It's going to be me giving position of prominence to the seed. That is, the Jew is where he is today, not because of their power, their strength, their wisdom. It's because God just happened to choose that nation. Now, that's why he can say, that's not all, they're not all Israel. Just because they come from that physical seed, he said, I'm looking for a particular seed. You know, just like everybody go to church ain't saved. You say, what? Oh yeah, you look at these. Look at this TV.
Yeah,
you see they flowing over.
Monkey shine.
You don't know why those people go in there.
Monkey shine.
They go in there. Say right, right. My pastor was saying that you can see through the monkey shine that they don't believe. You know, they go there because they got a credit union. They got a daycare. They go there. It's a connection. It's a time to move and shake. To make connections.
Have their ears tickled.
You know, they go there, right. Because they bought a new suit. And they got to see this one, man, Johnny. They got to see this one.
Looking for a spouse.
They go there, right, because, yeah, this is the dating connection. The love connection, right. You look, you can add the list on and on and on. You know what? And in the meantime, we can learn a little bit about God if we got time for that. Yeah. Yeah. Now, look, I don't have to tell you that. You've been to the building before, haven't you? Sure. Did you always go for the right reasons?
No.
Thank you for being honest. Now, the rest of us, I can say, no, you know what? You can tell that from the pulpit. Look, this the preacher, and he ain't there for the right reason.
Right.
So how you gonna get in the pew and say, "Oh yeah, I'm all about it"? Yeah, right. So don't let it be a surprise to you when God says in verse 6 through Paul that the word of, just because it's not happening the way that you think it should happen, that the word of God is not working.
That's just it. God has declared the truth, and we got all these people out there manipulating it to say what they want God to be saying, not what God has said.
Okay. All right. And that's where, like Paul said, have I become your enemy?
Because I tell you the truth.
It's the same thing that Jesus just told them. He says, look, Abraham would have been glad to hear what I'm saying. And you have an objection. Why? Because you don't have the same spirit as Abraham. Not the same spirit, because you're not even Abraham's seed. You don't believe God. Now, sometimes that's this. Look, that's where, and I'm going to give this example, then we'll close out. Back in Kings, when Naaman was to be cleansed, his handmaid came to him and said, excuse me, she said, listen, King, I'm paraphrasing this, why don't we go to Israel? There's a man of God there, and he can heal you. And he says, well, I got to go there. He can come down here. The point is, you know, to do what God requires. Faith does what God requires. And that's just like the man who wanted to, he wanted a prophecy to be prophesied over him. Jehoshaphat. He said, I don't want him to, he said, let's get the prophet to pray for you. And he said, no, I don't want him to pray for me, because he always prophesies evil and not good.
Yeah.
That's what we want. See, we want the God of good. You know, when we come to God, we want him to say all the things that we want to hear. You know, we don't want him to say, you will suffer. You don't want to hear from that God. That's the true God. You don't want to hear from the God that says you might be poor. That's not the God you want to hear from. You want to hear what you want to hear. So when you go and you, I tell you, we're gonna close with this verse. When you go, this is what you go in mind with right here. And you say, not me. I'm saying, okay, well, if it's not you, then just scratch yourself off the list. And I'm not talking about you. But if it is, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says this. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's teaching. That's the word of God. Not what I think, not what I've been through, not what I feel it ought to be. It's what the scripture says. It's faith. Preach the word, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. That's what we're talking about. When you don't walk in faith, then you go to where your ear gets scratched. You say, what? When you don't walk by faith, that is what God is telling you today, you go somewhere where they teach what you want to hear. Whether it's speaking in tongue or whatever it is that you like, if somebody is teaching what you don't like, You know what we do? We just go to the place where they teach what I do like. The itching ear, you know, where they scratch the ear. They make you feel better. They tell you what you want to hear. It doesn't matter if it works or not, as long as they believe what I believe.
Yeah.
You know, God don't want you poor, and you know you're struggling month to month. But you're still going to that place that's scratching your ear, and you saying one day, like the man at the pool of Bethesda, one day is going to be my day.
Well, that's the definition.
I'm going to roll over in this water. I'm going to roll over, and I'll get the blessing. And that day never comes. And you never question it. At least publicly. You might do it in your mind. But the truth comes, and you said, no, I can't go with that because Jesus said this.
The red letters.
The red letter promise. Yeah. And, you know, but to close out, the thing is this. The seed has always been what God wanted, is a seed of believers to be associated with the seed, with the capital S-E-E-D. He's always wanted believers, and that's what Christ is come for, is to call out believers. And the reason why things don't work, it's not because God can't do it. It's not because he's not powerful enough to do it. It's because the people that he promised it to are not people that walk in faith and believe what is, more importantly, and believe what he had promised to them when he promised it to them. Now, don't forget that.
What he promised and to whom he promised it.
He wants people to walk with him in his word, what he promised to them when he promised it to them. That's what we call rightly dividing the word. Dispensational Bible study is keeping up with God and the promises he made, when he made them, who he made them to. And you can see how some benefited from it or some didn't. And as we go into Romans 9, we're finding out now why the nation that he promised something to are not experiencing the benefits and the promises that he promised to them. So, we're going to stop there, pick it up at chapter 9, verse 6 next week, and we're going to try to go through this. I know it's not particularly of great feel-goodishness, if that's a word, but it's definitely some information that we can benefit from. So we're going to stop there. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for recording these things for our benefit, for our education, enlightenment, encouragement. We pray as we meditate on these things and continue to read them, that the profiting from the meditation and believing of your word might become apparent in our lives and in our understanding. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.